Let's pray together. Father, we do worship you. We thank you for our time in your presence. And now we pray that you would speak to us in a powerful way, a way that would touch our hearts and stir us for your kingdom. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat?" He saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. When he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000. We can easily get a wrong idea, a wrong understanding of the Christian life and what it means to serve the Lord and walk with him. And in a sense, what Jesus is doing here is giving the disciples a piece of teaching by demonstrating to them the character, the heart of God. So it says in verse 34, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." Now, it begins by speaking about the Lord being one who is as a shepherd. They had no shepherd, and he was the one to come as the good shepherd for the sheep. But after he's taught them, he then demonstrates the heart of a shepherd. He shows what it means to be a shepherd. And it says, "When the day is far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, 'This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about.'" And the disciples are all for sending the people away. They know that they need food, but their attitude is send them away, and they will find their own food. They can do their own thing. But Jesus shows that he has the character of a true shepherd, because he says, "No, we're providing for them. It's going to be us, as it were, meeting their need." And this is very central in the heart of what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus, is that we are there providing. And very much we do provide physical needs as well, but we're thinking primarily that we provide the gospel. And so within the heart of someone who walks with the Lord and someone who knows the Lord is that they have a compassion for the sheep. They always have that desire to provide for the sheep. And what we're providing for the sheep is the gospel very much. I just want to show first of all that they are still sheep, even though they're not yet saved. You find this in John chapter 10 and verse 16. Well, verse 15, it says, "The Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." So we see this picture of those sheep out there. They're not yet saved, but they're lost sheep. And so it's the heart of a shepherd that there is provision made for them. Now the big danger is that as Christians we so enjoy being fed ourselves, we love coming to meetings, we love going to conferences, we love listening to sermon tapes, go on the internet and listening to things, but we get to the place where it's all about feeding ourselves, and we don't remember that the key to the shepherd heart is that we're going out. And you see Jesus doing this, and he goes out and he's feeding other people. You find in and John and chapter 4, when Jesus is with the woman at the well of Sychar, and afterwards the disciples come to him, and they're sort of worried that he hasn't eaten. And verse 31 it says, in the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. And the heart of the Lord was so much for the people that it was, as it were, more essential to him than eating the physical food. So there was a woman who needed to hear from the Lord. She needed the Lord in her life, and his great concern was that she should receive something. And in going, in a sense, feeding her, giving her the life-giving water, he was meeting her need. And so often, our heart is not the heart of a shepherd. It's not the heart of the Lord Jesus. When we are so focused on our own lives and what we can get, sometimes it's practical things, our own lives, our own families and situation that has our focus, and it's those things are important and have their place. But we can be so focused on feeding ourselves that we don't have that heart of the Lord that goes out and reaches the lost. So this is what we see the Lord teaching. So the disciples say they can find their own food, and the Lord says, no, we're going to provide for them, and he sees what is available. But we note that the Lord takes the bread and the fish and distributes it to them, but it's for them to go round, and they had to go round, all that 5,000 people plus, and distribute to them. So even though it started with the Lord Jesus, and he's the one who always provides, it always has to come from him. Whatever we're giving, it has to come from the Lord to start with, doesn't it? But then there's the role for us to go out with the gospel, to go out with the word, and actively do something about it. There would have been a certain amount of work for them as they went out and distributed it among 5,000 people. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people to get round. And so there was work involved in what they had to do. And as we seek to spread the gospel, we need to go first to the Lord and spend time with him and get what he has for people. And so it's so important that we have our devotional times and special times, not just the time when we perhaps get up in the morning and have our devotional time and get ready for the day, but have other times when we spend time in the Lord's presence seeking him for something to give out. But then, having received that, we need to go. And we need to find the opportunities to go, bearing the bread, bearing the fishes, as it were, bearing the Lord Jesus and what he's filled us with to give to others. And there's really, we're hearing last week about the reward that the Lord gives us, and there's no reward really just for that receiving, just to be fed ourselves, just to get something from the Lord. But the reward is when we go out and share it, and you know, we can go to be with the Lord, and you know, we could have sat in meetings and fed ourselves and got so good on doctrine and our Bible knowledge can be wonderful and we're so well fed, and yet we maybe haven't gone out and given that to other people that they might be fed. And we've almost taken that attitude that the disciples had. Well, they can find their food themselves. And we sometimes just talk about and look at the state of the world and the state of society and how, you know, things seem to be falling apart, one might say, and say, oh, these, you know, the single mothers and homosexuals and all this. But have we gone out? Have we gone out to meet them with the bread, with the fishes, with the life. And in Ezekiel, you have that very challenging passage, Ezekiel 34, of the Lord speaking about the shepherds of Israel who are not behaving as shepherds should. And from verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock." And there's almost, we can almost take delight in criticizing unbelievers and grumbling about them and how sort of worldly and sinful they are. And in a sense, that's what it means. It can mean by "ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed." You almost feed on criticizing other people. But it says, "But ye feed not the flock." And so that can be true of us as Christians, that we're so ready to receive, and we say we love to praise the Lord, we love to be in the meetings, we love to hear the word of the Lord, but that never turns into going out with the word and giving it for other people. And if you do that, as it were, you just get fat. You just get spiritually fat, and then you can get spiritually lazy. And the whole heart of the Lord and the whole reason that he gives to us in the first place is that we can give out. So it's a challenge for us this morning. Are we really going out with what we've received? Have we done something with what the Lord has given us? As it were, those talents that the Lord, that money that the Lord has given us, have we gone out and done something with it, or have we just buried it? And so it says that they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And you'll find that as you do give out, you are fed much more yourself. As you are in the position where you're seeking the Lord for something to give to other people, then you are so much more satisfied yourself. Because if the Lord gives in order that you might give out, then he will keep giving to you as you keep giving out. And you will just so much enjoy receiving that. I mean, one of my favorite things is receiving a message from the Lord for preaching or any other time that I'm sharing. It's just heaven to me. As I seek the Lord at different times, sometimes just when I'm walking or driving somewhere, and I'm just in heaven, and my mind just goes up to the Lord, and I just start to receive. And as the Lord gives something into my heart to give, I don't know anything more satisfying than that, and I receive from the Lord. But it's in order that we give out, and if we keep it to ourselves, there, as it were, the Lord's not going to keep giving us, and we will start to grow dead and a bit dry and tired. And then secondly, in John chapter 6, you have the whole chapter really about the bread of life. There again you have the feeding of the 5,000 to start with, and then various teaching on that, and then bread of life. And the second thing I want to say first that we need to go out and have that heart as shepherds to give to the lost. But the second, what is it that we give? And really what we're giving is the Lord Jesus himself. And verse 33 of John 6 says, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And really, if we're going to give them anything worthwhile, it's just the Lord Jesus himself. And as he was feeding them with the bread, it was a demonstration of just feeding people with the Lord Jesus. And we don't have anything to give unless we've received this from the Lord. And it's just himself. It's meeting with him and seeking his face. It's not more Bible knowledge. And, you know, we can have so much Bible knowledge and so much doctrine, but there's no life in it. And here it speaks about the Lord Jesus being the bread of life, the bread of life. And it's that which will bring life to people. And as we seek the Lord and spend time with the Lord Jesus, we will have what is life that we can give to people. And people will latch on to that. If you're filled with the Spirit, and as it were, filled with the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, then when you talk to people, they will realize there's something worthwhile. And they, as they are fed, their hearts will be satisfied, and they will respond to that. And then the next thing, it continuing in John chapter 6 and verse 53, it says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. And to take this one step further, when we're preaching and sharing about the Lord Jesus with people, it has to be the real Lord Jesus, because we can easily create a false image of the Lord Jesus that loses sight of the cross and loses sight of his body being broken and loses sight of his blood being shed. And we can just give, as it were, a soft gospel that doesn't have the reality of the cross in it. And if we do that, then we're not giving Jesus. If we're just talking about one who is just a shepherd, but not a shepherd who lays down his life, just one who is loving and kind and sort of wants to just be good and kind to them, then that's not Jesus. And there'll really be nothing that will satisfy them and nothing that will bring them into life. For when we give them the flesh and the blood of the Lord Jesus, as we say, yes, he is someone who is real, but he's not just real, but he lived as a real man. And he died a real death, and his blood was poured out for you. Then there's life, and then there's something that can really bring the change and transform lives. And so this is what we see with the Lord Jesus as he was going about, and it was the very much the fact that he was always sharing, he was always, as it were, feeding, that resonated with people in a sense. And you remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they spend that time with the Lord, and he's teaching them, and it must have been the most incredible teaching, the resurrection Lord Jesus going through Old Testament scripture, unfolding the things about himself. What a sermon, what a Bible study that must have been. And they say afterwards that their hearts burned within them. But it wasn't until he broke bread with them that suddenly they saw him. And in a sense, it's not until we break bread with people, it's not until we do on that unfolding, that provision, that people see the Lord Jesus as he really is. You see, we see that at various times. We see it not only at the feeding of the 5,000, but we see it at the feeding of the 4,000, and we see it at the Last Supper, and we see it after the resurrection on the shores of Galilee, when the Lord enables them to have that miraculous draught of fishes, and then he's on the shore, and what is he doing again? He's providing them with bread and fish. And so it's, in a sense, it's not surprising that having had all those lessons and knowing these stories, that the disciples on the Emmaus Road, suddenly he's there and he breaks bread, and it perhaps flashed through their minds all these memories, all these stories of how the Lord Jesus was breaking bread. And there he was not just breaking the physical bread, but he was giving himself for the people. And in a sense, we need to get deeper into the Lord. Get deeper into the Lord so that we have something fresh and we have something real to give to people. We have our stories. We have our testimonies. We have our stories of years ago. We have our favorite. We have our pet Bible doctrines. We have our favorite Bible passages and the things that we've known and the things that we've said for many years. But sometimes there's not a freshness to that. And the Lord Jesus, it was always fresh bread. He always had something new to give them. And there's always something new, as it were, from the Lord Jesus. It's not obviously not new doctrines, and not those things don't change, but there's something fresh from the Lord that he wants to give. And we can go day by day and get that fresh bread. We know about the manna, that if they kept it overnight, if it wasn't the Sabbath, then it stank and grew maggots. But there's something always fresh with the Lord. But we need to go deeper. And in a sense, on the Emmaus Road, the Lord Jesus was taking them deeper than they'd ever gone before. And he took them through the scriptures into a deep place. And we need to be prepared to go into a deeper place with the Lord Jesus. And I just want to challenge you, and maybe have you lost that place where you keep going deeper? Where you want to just grow in your knowledge of the Lord, and perhaps you're almost thinking that it's enough just to keep going, keep motoring, keep treading water, survive as a Christian. But the Lord says, no, that's not what I've called you to, not just to survive, but I want you to go deeper. And I want there to be, as it were, more of me in you. And if you just go on your past experiences, your past testimonies, the past things you've learned, the sermons you've heard over many years, and you say, I've come to this place and I know my doctrine, I know my Bible well enough, and I just need to hold my ground and not let anyone distract me or damage me. Well, that's not having the heart of God. And then you don't have anything within you that you can go out and share with others. And if not for yourself, and if not for your own spiritual growth, for the sake of other people, you know, you need to be going deeper, and you need to be, as it were, digging into the Word, digging into the Lord, spending that time with the Lord, so that what he has for you can be received. And it can just be that we don't go to the Lord. We have our morning devotions, and we sort of think, well, I'm set up for the day, but then we don't find that further opportunity to dig into the Word with the help of the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, where else do you want me to lead me? What other things have you that I can receive today? And in a sense, you see that in John chapter 6, in as much as he begins the passage with the feeding of the 5,000. It's a very simple lesson. But as you work through that chapter, he goes deeper and deeper and deeper into a place that's more and more challenging to the disciples. He speaks to them in verse 26, and he, as it were, moves them on from the initial place where they started, and says, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. So he says, I want to move you on beyond the physical food. And then he talks to them about, around verse 31, about the manna that they received. And then he wants to move them on from that to the fact that he is the bread of life, and feeding upon him is the thing that is going to satisfy them. And then, as we said, he moves on again, and how they've got to feed upon him with the reality of the cross, and feeding on his body and feeding on his blood, which means a real deep communion with the Lord Jesus, a real fellowship, in a more real way perhaps than they had really understood before. So it's not just trusting in him, as it says in verse 35. It's not just coming and trusting, and you're saved and you receive. But then it goes on to the communion that you have with the Lord, and just spending time and getting to know him. And as you spend time with a particular person, you get to know them, you feed on them. In a sense, that happens with just us. You spend time with them, you're feeding, you're receiving, and you get to know them. And with the Lord Jesus, we need that time when we just get to know him and get more and more intimate with him. And as he comes to this final place, it says that some of them found this very difficult, and they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? Verse 60, and they couldn't cope with it, some of them. They were offended by this. But with the disciples, he said, and some of them left, and he said, are you offended? Are you going to leave me? I've brought you this far, and I've got to the place where my teaching is challenging, and my teaching is deep. And when you get to the place where the teaching is challenging and the teaching is deep, some people will fall away because they don't want to go any further. They don't want the reality of the Christian life in all its depth, in all its fullness. And at that point, they will go away. And the Lord said to the disciples, will you also go away? And Simon Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And I want to challenge us this morning. We've come to where we are, but are we willing to go through the challenges of going deeper with the Lord Jesus? Whatever that means, even though it's going to cause us some difficulties perhaps, the Lord is going to bring us into challenging situations, places that will make us uncomfortable. And we don't like to be uncomfortable, but we're not going to grow unless we're brought into a place where we're uncomfortable sometimes. Where the place is challenging, because that's the place that we're growing. And sometimes we're going to hear teaching, which is something that we've not heard before. And it will be teaching that we think, well, that's not wrong, that's not right, I've not heard that before. But it may just be that the Lord is wanting to take us deeper into himself, and the place we've come to isn't as far as we can go. Not just in terms of our own personal lives, not only in terms of our own personal walk with him, but in terms of our understanding of spiritual things. Remember, Paul speaks, or the writer to the Hebrews speaks to them about not being able to move them on to meat because they're not sufficiently spiritual. And that can be true of us. And the Lord wants to bring us, I believe, in his assembly, into deeper and deeper things. I remember reading one of the books by David Wilkerson, and there was one particular chapter towards the end of one of his books that was very deep, and I read this years ago. I read it, and I thought, well, this can't be right. This goes against what I believe. He's got it this wrong. And I thought, this is a pity, because, you know, it's a really good book, and he's got to the end, and then he's blown it with this chapter that's just way off. And then I read it, and then I thought about it, and I thought, hang on, I'm the one that's way off. And the point was that it was something deeper than I'd ever understood before. And if we want to go deeper into the Lord, we will sometimes be led into some challenging teaching, which actually just turns our understanding just that little bit. Yes, not the fundamentals, but it will just slightly alter our understanding and give us a new vision of the Lord, which will be wonderful. And we will see that it does fit in with everything in the Word and everything that we know to be true of the Lord, but it's taken us deeper. And that's a challenging thing, and many Christians don't go further forward with the Lord because they say, well, I know it, I've been used of the Lord, I'm still being used of the Lord, but I'm not willing to take that challenge and grow in grace and in my knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so if this is the great heart of the Lord, and perhaps this is just the challenge, the big challenge for us this morning, or for any of us this morning, that perhaps we've come to the place where we know our doctrine and we know the Bible quite well, and we know that we are where we are, but the Lord says, but you've not done anything with it. And my challenge to you today is to actually go to the Lord and receive the fish, receive the bread, receive something fresh from the Lord, something that's genuinely from him. But then, having received it, go out into the world and do something with it. And we'll find, as we go out and share with people, things start to happen. And some of these that received the good things of the Lord will have responded. Their hearts will have been touched and become the disciples of the Lord. And not everyone will. Some will turn away. But if we don't go out, no one will receive the word, the good things of the Lord. Are we willing to take it seriously, take the heart of the Lord seriously, the shepherd heart of the Lord, and say, Lord Jesus, if that's what you're like, if that's what your heart is like, that's what I want to be like. And I'm not just going to receive, but I'm going to be someone who goes. Go ye into all the world and make disciples. Will we take up this challenge from the Lord, receive something good from the Lord, and then go out and give to those in need, that they might be blessed and that their lives might be changed and that they might receive the good things from God as we've received ourselves. Amen.